So first, I'm gonna start off with a little story that about my mom and my like adventures in high school and stuff like that. And my mom is like one of the greatest people that I know. She's like one of my favorite people in my life. She's done so much for me, obviously, because you know she raised me and stuff like that. And like even my existence, because she like carried me for 9 months, is hinged on her willing to do that, making her sick and giving her weird cravings and all that stuff, and you know, making her not be able to work and stuff like that. So she's been a big portion of my life, obviously. And all of y'all have moms too at some point. And whether they're your biological mom or whether they're somebody who you just seen as a mom figure in your life, you know, like that. And but even though we do get on their nerves and make them sick sometimes, and like even as babies and stuff like that, they still love us more than most people in this world do love them. And I know in my own life, my mom has saved my skin in many situations. Saved me, like, out of, I don't know, even when I would, like, deserve the punishment that I was going to receive for something stupid I did, she would still be there to either get me out of that situation or just know it would grow me and so let me take the punishment. And either way, it was for my good. But one story seems to stick out the most, how it's really, like, stuck in my brain and I remember it really well. And, my mom had always told me that when I was, like, in a bad situation, whether it was, whether I was, like, you know, in trouble or, like, stranded somewhere, to call her no matter what time it was, no matter what situation it was, no matter how much trouble I was going to be in with the cops or her or whatever I was doing wrong. So, you know, she always told me to call her like that no matter what situation, and she would be there to help me. And, well, as life goes, that situation showed up one time. I was dating this girl at the time in my sophomore year of high school, and her mom and her sister and her dragged me to Walmart for the midnight release of a movie, and the movie was Twilight, so it was, you know, one of the manlier movies, but I got dragged to go pick that up at midnight release at Walmart, and we had to wait for like an hour because strangely there was like a line of like 100 people waiting for this movie. And we had to wait there for an hour, like just sit there, and we got the movie. It was midnight, and then after we waited an hour, it was like 1 or 1:30 or so. And then after we got the movie, we got in the car, and we were riding back, me, my girlfriend, her sister, and her mom, and the car broke down like 20 minutes away. It was an hour drive back to her house from where she lived. So the car broke down like 20, 15 minutes into the drive, and we were stranded. So we pulled over into some fire station that we seen on the side of the road. And it was middle of the night, nobody around, nobody was even in the fire station. Like, so we were stranded on the side of the road. And I remembered my mom telling me that I could call her. So I called her up at 3 o'clock in the morning. It was like, hey, sorry you're asleep. I didn't mean to wake you up or anything, but we're kind of stranded on the side of the road. And she's like, what? Are you okay? Is there everything right? You know, doing the mom routine, typical stuff. And I was like, nah, will you come pick us up? We kind of need a ride, and there's going to be 4 of us. And she didn't know. She knew my girlfriend, but she didn't know her sister and my girlfriend's mom. And but being the great lady she is, she got up out of bed, got dressed, drove the 40 minutes to us, and picked us up in the SUV. And so we all piled in the car and started driving back. And so for the 40-minute ride, my girlfriend's family is weird. She's not my girlfriend anymore, but, like, her family was weird. Like, her mom talked about the oddest things. She talked about cats for 40 minutes. She had 12 cats. 12. She breeded the things and showed them. So their house was, like, you know, smelled wonderful. But she had 12 cats. And so the whole way, she talked to my mom about cats. And we didn't even like cats. My mom was allergic to cats. And so, like, being the great lady she is, she kept in the conversation and was loving on her and, you know, showing her Christ's love through, like, being interested in what she had to say. And so after the 40-minute drive back to the girlfriend's house, we finally got there, and I hugged my mom by and gave her a kiss and stuff because we were going to watch the movie, then I was going to go home at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't know, it was the weirdest situation. But so I gave her a kiss and hugged by, and she drove off. And it stuck with me all these years that she did this selfless act that she did not have to do because she loved me. She didn't have to come pick us up. It was my fault I was in that stupid situation. She didn't have to do that, but she did anyways. So I always wondered if I would be able to do that, if I would be able to show somebody that kind of love in that situation if I didn't have to do. Because I know that situations that I've had to do that, sometimes I would talk my way out of it. Like, oh, sorry, I'm at work, when I knew I could get off and go help them. But I'd make up an excuse just because, I don't know. But the scripture I want to get into tonight, which will relate to the story, is in 1 John chapter 4, and it is on page 1185 in the Pew Bibles, if you want to look in that. It's a very well-known passage. It has very many deep thoughts in it, and the passage talks a lot about love and what true love is in God's eyes and what that means for us. And it does relate to the story I just told about what my mom's intentions were. So if you're there, John writes in chapter 4 this, starting in verse 7. He writes this. He says, "Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. And God's love was revealed among us in this way, that God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another, because no one has ever seen God. And if we love one another, God will remain in us and his love will be perfected in us." So that's 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12. And that's where I want to stop with the scripture, because this is where, let's break that down and what that means, because there is a lot in there. I mean, it's 6 verses, but there is a lot to figure out what's in there. John wanted to show his readers what God has done for them in their lives. He wanted to show them how that will affect their life and how they should strive towards that. And again, I'm going to read verse 7 and again, and I'm going to go through each verse and break it down verse by verse. And in verse 7, he starts out saying, "Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." So what does this tell us? What does this tell us in the first verse? John is telling his readers that true love comes from God. Okay? And all who act out this true love have been born of God, and know this true love. But this love is not like any love that we know outside of God. This love is not a love that you will find in the world without God. Because this love is an unselfish love. This love is a selfless love. This is a love that's not looking for a reward or not looking for some way to please themselves. This love from God is a love that's not like the world. Because the love that you'll find in the world is one of those, I scratch your back, you scratch my back kind of love. It is a love that if I do something for you, I expect something back in return. Or if they're not expecting something back in return, they still want the recognition that they've done something for you. They still want you to be like, oh yeah, man, that Dakota guy, he mowed my lawn the other day, you know. So they still want that recognition to other people so they know, like, oh yeah, Dakota's a great guy. They still want that recognition. Is a love that we cannot do either without God showing us how to do it. And in verse 8, he says that the one who does not love does not know God because God is love. And this verse is pretty much self-explanatory. If you don't truly love God, if you don't truly love, then you are not with God. If you don't love, you don't know God because God is love. Now, what does that mean? What does he mean by God is love? I've heard that my entire life, God is love, but nobody explained what it means by God is love. If you take it literally, it means that God is just a feeling that we have in our hearts, just a random emotion that we have, and that's not the case. God is not just an emotion that we have. God is much more than that. Surely he's not saying that. He means that love is a specific attribute in God's character. Just as justice and holiness are a specific attribute in God's character, love is there also. That's what he means by God is love. And so for you to know true love, you must know God because that is a specific attribute in God. So, verses 9 and 10 go on saying this. He says that God's love was revealed among us in this way, that God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us first and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. John, to his readers, restates the gospel that he'd already given them. He restates what he'd said already again in this. He says that God, the creator of the universe, the most holy, the highest of highs, the King of kings, came down in the flesh, known as Jesus, came down, lived the sinless life that we cannot live, died on the cross for sinners like me and sinners like you, so that you might live in him, even though we didn't deserve it. We rebelled against God. We hated God. We did everything against God, but he loved us anyways and sent his Son to die for us. That is what true love is. And that act of the gospel revealed to us what true love is. And only in that can we comprehend what true love is. Only in the gospel. I'm going to restate verse 10 because there's another section that I want to talk about, and it's love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So in the remembrance of the gospel, in the remembrance of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we are able to continue in love. Only in the remembrance of telling ourselves each and every day that God sent his Son for me, to die on the cross for me, we are able to love others like God loved us. Only if we tell ourselves that every day. Because we will forget. We're not going to be able to love perfectly because we're sinners and we're imperfect. So if we tell ourselves every day, it will help us to remember what God has done for us. In the fullness of the Holy Spirit, only in the fullness of the Holy Spirit are we able to remain in him and love how he loved us first. But then in verse 11, John goes and gives them a challenge. He challenges his readers. He gives them a challenge. He says this in verse 11. He says, "Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another." He challenges them to love others the same way that they were loved. He challenged them. But he didn't say to just love the people in the church. He didn't say to just go to church and then love everybody in the church. That's not what he said at all. He challenged them to go out into the world and love everybody. Love others, not just the righteous, not just the ones who are Christians, not just the ones who have helped you out, but love the ones that were like you before Christ. Love the sinners and the people who hate God and the people who rebel against God, even if there's not going to be a reward, even if they're not going to scratch your backpack, even if. Love them anyways, because God loved you the same way. And that challenge is not just to them. That challenge is for us. He's speaking to everybody who's in Christ, not just the people who's reading. But then in verse 12, there's a reward. Even though we don't deserve a reward, there is a reward for loving others. And this is what that reward is. It says that no one has ever seen God. And if we love one another, God will remain in us and his love is perfected in us. Now, this reward is not a reward that you would get from like a job for working hours or something. This is not a monetary, this is not a physical reward. This is not a reward that you can like hold in your hand and like go to spend on it, whatever you want. This is a reward that is much greater than that. This reward is that John states that even though no one has seen God, even though that no one has seen God in all his glory and all his splendor and all his majesty, Moses saw a little glimpse and came out glowing. No one has seen fully who God is, even though no one has seen it. That in our walk with Christ, in our complete sacrificing our lives for Christ, in our loving of others, we can get a glimpse of who God is. We can get a picture, a clear picture of who God is. And the only reason we can do that is because Jesus Christ revealed the Father to us. Jesus Christ revealed that love to us. So John's purpose in this passage was to show the readers in Ephesus, who were not just common people. He was writing to the leaders in Ephesus, the people who led the community, the people who led the church, the top dogs of the society. He was writing to them. He wasn't just writing to the common people. He was writing to the leaders in the church and telling them to love others. So it's not like once you reach this level of holiness, you're gonna stop loving others. You love others all the way to your grave. And that's what he was telling them. He's telling them that they could love others with the love that they had already received. So, if you're here tonight and you are not loving others as you should, or if you're here tonight and you're not willing to give up your time for others, if you're not willing to sacrifice your hobbies, if you're not willing to sacrifice sleep, if you're not willing to sacrifice your very life to love others, and I pray that you will come before the Father and ask Him for strength to let go of those desires to please yourself, to let go of that, and to take on the love that Christ has given us, to take on that. My mom, she let go of her hours of sleep, even though she doesn't sleep very well, and even though she had to work in the morning. She let go of that so she could come pick me up because she loved me in that way and was showing me Christ's love. And that's what Jesus did. He came down for us, wretched sinners who defied Him and hated Him and died for them anyways because He loved us, to give us a way to live in Him and to love others. You will never be able to love perfectly because, as I said before, we are sinners in an imperfect world, but take great joy and strength in the fact that the Creator of the world came down and died for you so that you could live in Him and love others. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for this opportunity You've given me, Lord. I thank You for the ability to come up here and just preach the Word to these people, Lord. I just pray that that You will just use this to convict somebody, Lord, and just to make them go out and want to love others the way that they have already been loved, Lord. I just pray that they will dwell on this, Lord, and that they will just keep Your gospel in mind so they can continue to love in others, Lord. I just pray that You will just be with us as we go home and keep us safe, Lord. In Your Son's precious name, I pray.